Welcome to the Sipping Hour, presented by the National American and recorded live at the Public House Theater. Now please enjoy Episode May.
Connie, this restaurant smells amazing. You've picked another brunch winner.
Thanks, Tabitha. Canadian / apocalyptic literature fusion cuisine makes delicious sense.
While we wait for our Soylent poutine, tell me what you've been up to.
Nothing exciting, you know, a little expensing with drugs here, some sleeping with strangers there, you know. Oh, and I started a podcast.
A podcast? What's that?
What are you, a time traveler from 1996?
No, answering that, you're off the timeline. No, I'm dying, Jason. What's a podcast?
Podcast. A podcast is like a public access show, but for the radio.
Oh, so people just talk about whatever they think is important, not realizing that it's only important to them.
Exactly. My podcast, Hump, is the number five podcast about Wednesdays after Midweek Madness, Midweek Michigas, All I Do Is Wednesday, and the Day After Tuesday show.
I'm saying those words as if they're meaningful.
Get with the tabs. Everyone has a podcast.
Soylent poutine for two. Be careful, that plate is ice cold.
I'll prove it. Nameless waiter, do you have a podcast?
My name is Jahan McGillicuddy, and yes, I have a podcast. It's called Talking With Your Mouth Full. I read transcripts of my customers' conversations. Which one of you is a junkie slut, and which one of you is the time traveler?
I'm the empowered junkie slut.
And I'm no comment. You'll stay alive in this timeline, all for one.
I swear.
Okay. Well, making a note of that. Like me on iTunes while I get you more Canadian cold gravy.
See? Everyone is podcasting. Excuse me, nameless cyclist, do you have a podcast?
First, my name is Raspberry Jackson Jones III, and of course I have a podcast. What am I, a time traveler from 1996?
No,
because the time portal can only hold one person at a time.
Okay, tell us about your podcast, Raspberry Double J Cubed.
It's called Immortal Dinosaur, and it's all about chairs and gravity and chocolate and squirrels.
That just sounds like a bunch of random stuff is being thrown together.
Not when you consider the dichotomous nature of mankind's belief in finite universality.
So obvious, Tabs.
Stab, stab, stab!
And you, nameless person holding a bloody knife, do you have a podcast?
Of course. First, my name is none of your damn business, and my podcast is about all the murders I get away with that get turned into podcasts.
Wow. Does have a podcast, but me.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, yeah,
much.
I'll kill you.
But you did say podcast correctly.
You're right. Podcast. Podcast. Podcast.
That's the first step in carving out your own little corner of the internet.
So I could talk about how the world's going to end in 2018 if we don't reunite all for one in time for the arrival.
The arrival? The arrival of whom?
Listen to my podcast and find out.
Welcome to the Sipping Hour. It's a springy day in the basebally North Wrigleyville. We have an evening of genre bending ahead. This month's theme is pop, as in popular culture.
I'm Raleigh, and I love to catch them all.
I'm Becca, and I love to share Rihanna and Baby Groot gifts as a day job.
Hi, I'm Tasha, and I'm a Mario Kart junkie.
I'm Emily. I love binge watching The Dick Van Dyke Show.
I'm Sean, and I like HBO.
I'm Bailey. And I like watching pimple popping videos on YouTube.
And I'm Wolf.
That's right.
And I binge eat the Great British Bake Off. And now, here's our host, Michelle.
Woo!
louder, folks, so she can hear us, whatever the hell she is. Once again, here's our host, Michelle. Woo! All right, where's Michelle? Want to get in home, home in time for Veep, everybody?
I don't know.
Did I use ratio go
password? She's in the reply all email. Look, guys, we're here. We have scripts. Let's just do this.
Way not to worry about Michelle. Who did time much better?
Okay, some of us want to watch Veep and already have our parents' HBO Go password. I'm starting with or without you guys. Webster's Dictionary defines popular culture as...
Okay, no. Maybe she's not here because that's so hacky.
Okay, I don't feel safe doing the show without Michelle. I mean, what if something weird happens?
Weird like how, Bailey?
I don't know. Like, a shark attack? Or a souffle falls? Or everyone loses their health care?
We're on land. Just say it's a casserole. And we can all still call our senators and tell them to vote no on the American Health Care Act.
Okay, so sharks, egg dishes, and if our senators actually care about people, pre-existing conditions are covered. But what if something theatrical happens?
What was that, Emily? Sorry, I got distracted by this ambiguously ethnic non-denominational artifact I just found. I think I'm supposed to rub it.
Rolly, no!
I guess I should have just petted it instead of rubbing it.
That's what she said.
What was that?
Sounded like canned laughter.
Well, it wasn't canned tuna.
Is that funny?
No.
Raleigh rubbing on that vaguely ethnic non-denominational artifact must have opened the portal between genres. Books can seep into movies, music can seep into YouTube videos, and podcasts can seep into sitcoms.
How do you know all this?
I have a degree in drama with a minor in stage shenanigans. How do you think we get things like Hamilton or The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu? Sometimes your book chocolate gets into your movie peanut butter.
And it's in the script. I am funny.
So how do we get out of this, Professor?
We just have to go through it. Sitcoms don't end until they end. Audience, are you ready to go through this with us? And by the way, the script says, this is where you cheer loudly.
Cheer loudly! A bright young Chicagoan who is looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love.
I'm so sick of these dating apps. Why can't I just meet someone the old-fashioned way?
Let's see how this turns out. Good luck, Peggy.
Yep.
Come on, Doggo. You're a good boy. Can you just poop so we can go back inside and watch BoJack?
Excuse me! Were you just talking to your dog about BoJack Horseman, the best cartoon on Netflix?
Why, yes, I was. I'm so embarrassed. I usually only talk to my dog in private.
I know what you mean. Well, BoJack is the best. My favorite character is
Princess Carolyn!
She's the best. Addison, stop. Sorry, it looks like my dog likes sniffing your dog.
Clark. My dog's name is Clark. Crazy thought, but would you like to get a drink at a dog-friendly bar tonight and discuss Mr. Peanut Butter's emotional turn in season 3?
I would.
Boof.
Come on, Doggo, you're a good boy. Can you just poop so we can go back inside and watch BoJack?
Excuse me? Were you just talking to your dog about BoJack Horseman?
Why, yes, I was. I'm so...
Yeah, well, could you do it from away from our area? Come on, Clark, another crazy, self-centered woman talking to her dog. I bet next... She's going to explain to me how my week was going, how creative, and then explain how she likes that feminist cat better than BoJack.
Sure, Peggy. Meet cutes aren't always what they seem.
Oh, come on. At least pick up your dog's shit.
Mm-hmm.
As I near the end of my golden years, I want this comedy to be a part of my legacy. My golden legacy.
Golden legacy indeed. We're quite elated to share our ideas with you. Cannot wait to see the folds of your skin attempt to curl into a smile as the sound of what could be a laugh escape your mouth.
May you succeed. I need practice. I learned how to smile yesterday during our high tea. Impress me.
Your Majesty, specifically requested we focus on comedy and, well, what's funnier than six attractive single friends living together in York, trying to navigate life and the relationships?
Why is this funny?
Well, it's more about their relationships.
Do they stick together?
But of course.
Is there incest? I didn't marry my cousin. Isn't that a riot? Woo!
Well, two of the singles are brother and sister.
Potential. The concept on its own is rather dull.
But that's the beauty
Silence!
Of...
I'm thinking of a way to salvage this idea. Wait, I have it. Make all the characters women who have plenty of experience with sex, because sex sells, and they're in their golden years, like me.
Okay, and what do you want to call this weekly comedy?
I shall call it The Golden Girls. Thank you, you're no longer needed.
Uh-huh.
Next! Come on, people, I don't have all day, dilly dally.
I will go next, Your Highness. And before I begin, I just want to say you look fantastic today. The conservativeness of the gown really accentuates your non-figure. So that one can only focus on your words of wisdom.
You're making this old queen blush beneath her bustle. Please, show your dress for the weekly play. Hope it's different from your predecessors. Friends in York, utter bore.
So imagine a mother and father with two sons and one daughter. The oldest son is a bit of a wisecracking heartthrob that will stir the feelings of romance in all the young women. The show follows the family's antics that mostly revolve around the aforementioned son. I call it Growing Pains.
Interesting. Better. Simple premise. I'll greenlight this idea instead of the first one, pending two changes.
Whatever your heart desires, my queen.
Drop the son and replace him with a wisecracking woman. And for the second change, replace all the other characters with older women. Let's make them related, so to keep the family theme. But the title has got to go. It'll remind everyone what this country is going through.
What about a name that reflects the bonds of a family, like Family Ties? That's it!
Golden Girls! That's it!
That sounds like the other!
Splendid! You're wonderful, baby! Let's keep it moving! Next!
Your Highness, it is really an honor to be in your presence. The way your brow hovers over your eyes like a living caterpillar is quite remarkable.
Well, thank you, my dear. I brush them for 100 strips every night. I could share details of my beauty routine, but I'd rather not. Now, on with it.
So imagine a play that follows the lives of a group of four women living in York, who, despite their different natures and ever-changing sex lives, remain inseparable and confide in each other.
I adore this! Very different from the first two. Tell me more.
Well, it's their personalities and relationship to each other that makes the play tick. You have the sexy one, you have the no-nonsense one, you have the proper one, and you have the fashionable one.
This is really speaking to my majestic sensibilities. Now, what is the title of this masterpiece?
Well, I'm rather embarrassed to say, I haven't thought of one yet. I was so excited that I completely forgot.
Oh, no title, no problem. Your queen loved your baby. Now, would you mind if for Midas Touch? Let's see. These are women who are in the prime of their life. Four women bound by friendship. I think I have it. It's absolutely splendid.
Yes, Your Highness? What is it?
The title of this play shall be Golden Girls.
We now return to Peggy, who's still holding out for her own very meet cute, just like in the movies. She thought the gym would be a nice spot, as she's looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love.
Whoops, your towel fell. Here you go.
Oh, thanks. Good workout?
Yeah,
Just getting ready to join my local rebel militia. Sorry, bad joke.
No. I'm right there with you. Gotta build up this endurance to topple the patriarchy and defend science.
I like your style. All while watching my favorite sexist musical.
Hey, Grease is a classic, and while it may be sexist, at the time it was endearing. Besides, You're the One That I Want is perfect elliptical music.
I will allow that.
And it looks like you're watching it too. A womp a baloo bop, a womp and boom!
Whoops, your towel fell. Here you go. Mm,
thanks.
Oh, Peggy. At least you put yourself out there, am I right?
Y'all, listen. I just did a shit ton of reading on popular culture, conspiracies, and fan theories, and I have a lot to get off my chest. Did you know that the Count from Sesame Street is really a blood-sucking vampire that preys on the youth of all of the children in the neighborhood using mathematics, of all things, math, as a facade for his treachery? You think you know a Muppet. I mean, why is it that the kids keep getting replaced, huh? Think about that. But you know what really has me fucked up? This Avril Lavigne shit. If you ain't heard, apparently, Homegirl has been dead since 2003 and has been replaced by some other homegirl named Melissa, and it's hashtag confirmed. What is going on? Can someone call that Nickelback dude and, like, really expose this? Wait, would he even know? Could I be so easily replaced? Is this the singularity? One of the most interesting fan theories I've come across is that Jack from the Titanic is actually a time traveler. He only refers to things that don't exist yet, like Lake Wissota and a roller coaster in Santa Monica Beach, both built after Rose let him die on that raft that was definitely big enough for both of them. There's a whole theory of how every Leonardo DiCaprio film is connected. I don't quite have time to go over that, but Google it later. It's pretty wild. Personally, I don't think Scandal is so estranged from the hit show A Different World. I think that Byron, aka Joe Morton, who also plays Papa Pope, was so completely crushed by Whitley's rejection when she finally chose Dwayne at the wedding that he turned into a monster. A B613 monster. Changed his name to Eli and became Command. I mean, the B in B613 stands for Byron. There are people out here who think that the world of High School Musical exists in the same world as The Purge, that Alfred is the real mastermind who orchestrated the murder of Bruce Wayne's parents, and that the Harry Potter world is real. Okay, the last one might be a little delusional. Okay, but what if everyone is a wizard, right? And magic is merely locked away in a part of your brain you just don't know about. I mean, wizards are born with muggle parents all the time. We're just being kept from ever finding out the truth. That everyone is a wizard, yo. It's true. So the next time you want to make fun of someone for being salty that they didn't receive their Hogwarts letter, you better hold your goddamn tongue. Okay. I'm not saying that fan theories are always true, but it is highly entertaining and weird and scary and a lot of the time a bit of a stretch. And can you think of what would happen if we examined our own lives the way we examine the media we consume? What other connections would we find? Like, maybe if we actually looked at how Russia was involved in our election, or thought about how our actions and laws affect other places in the world so very easily, or took a look at the war on drugs and how the FBI introduced drugs into black and brown communities just before this conveniently timed war on drugs. I mean, are we so afraid of the truth that the interconnections of our lives can be more profound and depressing than the theory that Angelica from the Rugrats is really just playing imaginary friends with a bunch of dead babies? Pop culture musics are fascinating. But what if we took a closer look at the world around us too? Think about that.
Alas, we find Peggy once again, this time in her favorite record shop. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love.
Oh, okay, you don't have to do the song every time.
I apologize.
That looks like a good stack of vinyl there. Did you just find it, Otis?
Otis Redding, Dictionary of Soul. I'm guessing the kid behind the counter doesn't realize how much this is worth.
Nice find. I love Otis. What else do you have?
Let's see, I grabbed Jackie Wilson, Irma Thomas, and I will happily spend the money for this Bowie reissue.
No judgment here.
What do you have?
Aretha, Smokey, and this overpriced Bowie reissue.
Crazy thought, but do you want to grab some kombucha and listen to an overpriced Bowie reissue together?
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Okay, that was bad, but I'll let it slide because it was quick and you're cute. Let's dance.
That looks like a good stack of vinyl there. Did you just find an Otis?
Otis Redding, Dictionary of Soul. I'm guessing the kid behind the counter.
Nice find. My girlfriend loves Otis. I'll give you $20 for it.
Poor, sad, lonely lady. If only she had...
You know what? I'm getting real sick of your shit. You want to say something in my face? Do you?
I'm sorry, Peggy, but real talk. No one meet cutes in person anymore. I know it's not the story you want, but people have to know the other person already finds them minimally attractive. This is how it's done now in the age of the swipe.
Fine, fine. I'll download fucking Bumble.
Just tell everyone you met at the farmer's market.
Trapped out of the sitcom if we threw the best talent show prom dance telethon the Sipping Hour has ever seen.
Woo! Talent show prom dance telethon? We're trying to escape a genre purgatory, not save the max.
Save the max!
Actually, he might be onto something. Music could get us closer to Yen, and oh, look! Here's awesome local singer Nikki Morgan.
Hey, Nikki, do you know anything about the Zack Attack? California Dreams? Hannah Montana?
All of those bands are fake. Let's ask her some real questions.
Yeah, what?
Yay!
Okay, hi, hello.
Hello.
So this is actually a new little thing that we're doing. We're gonna interview Nikki. Now, this is your second time with us, actually.
It is.
So I'm so excited that we'll get to know you more. We first showed up here, we had our November show.
Yeah.
It was awesome, so we're so glad to have you back.
Yeah.
So here's question number one.
Okay.
If you could choose one food item or an ingredient to completely wipe off the face of the planet, what would it be?
Celery. I hate celery.
Yes, no.
I feel like there are two people in the world, one who loves celery and one who hates celery, and I hate celery. It's the most useless vegetable.
Damn.
Well, you've got some fans. You don't even mess with the, what do they call it, like ants on a log?
No. No. That's like ruining peanut butter.
Thank you.
Shot fired. Alright, okay, so, next question is, what's a song that you wrote that was really sincere at the time, but now that you're older, looking back on it, it's like, you feel totally different. You're like kind of embarrassed about it.
When I was 10, I wrote a blues song about my refrigerator. I was very passionate about it, and it was the first song that I wrote, and I went to my parents and sung it, and I think I heard them giggling, but I think I tried to ignore it. I was very serious about it, but I don't think it would work today.
Oh, do you happen to remember like a lyric?
It was like something about like, I broke my refrigerator or something like that. Or something, yeah.
Perfect. And then lastly, just to have us, you know, a little bit more about what's important to you, what's an issue that's really important to you?
I think my biggest thing is like intolerance. I feel like it really frustrates me when people can't try to put themselves in someone else's shoes. Not to say that I'm perfect at it, but I feel like that's something I'm definitely passionate about. Whether it's like race or gender or sexuality or like socioeconomic issues or whatever, I feel like we can all stand to just kind of look through somebody else's eyes. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah.
Can you let us all know when we can catch you next?
Yeah, so I have actually a few shows this week. Thursday, I do a monthly gig at 222 Tavern downtown. So every last Thursday, you can catch me there from 8 to 11. And then Friday, this Friday, if you guys, I don't know if you guys have heard the band Nickel Creek, I will be playing with Sean Watkins.
Woo!
And yeah, and or like opening for him, not playing with him. Bronte Fall, which is another local band, and I'll be playing with them Friday here at Martyrs, and then Saturday at Collective Old Coffee in Milwaukee.
Okay, awesome! Congratulations!
Yeah.
Nice. Let me run away and let you get started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. So, in the words of one of my idols, you guys are all happy now, and they brought you up so I can bring you down a little bit. So this first song these are both newer songs. So this first song is kind of about like how we go through life and relationships, and sometimes we find ourselves giving more or taking more than we should, and yeah, something, just something along those lines, so.
Thank you. Place, but ever seen the dawn?
Hey, Brad. Thanks for having us over for ribs in the sports game.
Yeah, Brad. Wicked game, bro.
No problem, bros. Sports game is the best.
Yeah. And these ribs, bro, smothered in barbecue sauce?
Yeah, Brad. Wicked ribs, bro.
Aw, man, I got sauce on my phone. You got any appropriately masculine paper towels for me to use, bro?
Well.
Whoa, Brad, what is that?
Uh-oh.
Floral print paper towels?
Whoa, Brad. Not wicked towels, bro.
They're my girlfriends.
More like your boyfriends, am I right?
Yeah, Brad, we're all wicked hetero here except for you, dude.
Ow, my masculinity.
Don't sweat it, Brad. I have the perfect paper towel to compliment your masculinity, bro.
You do?
It's Golan's Bro Towels for Dudes. It's 100% tree bark stripped down in its most absorbent masculine form. They throw the rest of the tree away after. Nothing says masculine like hurting the planet.
Yeah, Brad, wicked deforestation, bro.
Cool, man, but I still don't know. Will buying a product pandering to an outdated notion of masculinity really make me more secure?
Cool question, bro. But did you know that tons of cool athletes use bro towels? O.J. Simpson, Ray Rice, Ben Roethlisberger do. And they're all totally masculine.
Well, that totally answers my question.
Oh, hey, Brett. Cool paper towels. Maybe you can cheat your girlfriend with me sometime.
Oh, thanks, guys. Nothing compliments my fragile masculinity like wasting of natural resources, unnecessary product endorsement, and a promise of chicks wanting to sleep with me.
Yeah, Brad. Wicked towels, Brad.
Wicked indeed. Golan's Bro Towels for Dudes. You're a dude, or aren't you?
Let's go, girls.
From 10 seconds ago. That's my friend, he can cheat on me. His girlfriend with me. Yeah, I know, I have no shame because I'm a modern woman who knows what she wants in both a sexual partner and a paper towel. Introducing Golan's Chick Towels for Dames. The first paper towel made for a woman. How do you know it's for us gals? It's pink, it smells of rose water, and it's absorbent and durable enough for all of your female needs. Well, most of your female needs. Chick towels for dames. In the paper towel aisle of any store where gender roles are shoved down your throat, even the most basic of products. Paper towels. They're not just for men anymore.
Oh boy, take our word for it, audience. A lot of sitcomming has happened.
Yeah, we just got the Johnson Report done, even though someone switched our presentation with their wedding video.
I didn't even know I was married.
Thank goodness that seeing the video made Johnson realize that he should spend more time with his wife and not worry about money.
Oh, and Sean passed his chemistry test.
I just picked C for every answer.
But I did learn a valuable lesson about being prepared.
Oh. And we've all dated each other and broken up with each other and gotten back together.
Yeah. You guys, what could possibly...
What could possibly be next?
I hope it's a special guest star.
But who?
Ooh, fingers crossed for the Harlem Globetrotters.
We're trapped in a sitcom, not Scooby-Doo. I don't care if those laughs are fake. I'm on fire.
I want someone
who's gonna bring us ratings, like Tia and Tamara, or the nanny.
Okay, Tia can come, but not Tamara, and she knows why.
Oh my God! It's the Harlem Globetrotters!
You dodged a bullet this time, Tamara! This time!
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 15 weeks since my last confession, and I accuse myself of the following sins. Stealing office supplies, having sexual thoughts about my Starbucks barista, lying to my boyfriend about watching Game of Thrones, and mailing my boss an envelope of glitter. For these sins, and all those that I cannot remember, I humbly repent and ask for absolution, counsel, and penance.
Molly, my child, can you repeat that last sin? I didn't quite catch it.
Father, I'm too ashamed. I'm afraid I'll be judged.
You are under the comfort of our Lord and Savior. Go on.
Mailing my boss the craft version of herpes.
No, not that one. The one before that one.
Oh. I've been lying to my boyfriend about watching Game of Thrones.
How have you not seen Game of Thrones? Straight blasphemy!
But I stole office supplies. I think I may be a petty thief. I need to make an act of contrition.
What you need is the faith of the seven.
The faith of the seven? I'm sorry, Father, I don't understand.
Oh, for Christ's sake. The father, the mother, the maiden, the crone, the warrior, the smith, and the stranger.
And it's a problem that I don't know what that means.
Yes, my child. I will help you through this. Let's see. How long have you been lying for?
6 seasons? Maybe. I don't know. Can I get a crash course before season 7?
6 goddamn seasons! Shame! Shame! Shame!
Father, this is awkward. Can we talk about me having sexual thoughts about my Starbucks barista? Whenever I tell him I want to whip cream on my grande mocha, I usually want to whip some cream on him.
Okay, what's awkward is your lying to your boyfriend for 6 seasons. Tell me, what did you do when he brought up the dragons? Jon Snow, the frickin' Red Wedding.
I go, whoa, that's wild. And guess what? Winter is coming. He laughs every time. I totally have him fooled.
Okay, no you don't. I'm coming in. First, listen to this podcast, Sex, Thrones, and Hodor. Second, read this book, Chicken Soup for the Throne. And third, well, trust me on this one. Listen to these Game of Thrones trap covers.
Right, this is great. I can't thank you enough. Now, what about my other sins? I'm really thinking about returning the wireless printer I stole.
No, hush. Yeah. Really can't. Will I see you next Sunday?
For Sunday service, yes, I'll be there.
No, at my place to binge watch Game of Thrones. Service starts at 7 p.m. We've got to get you ready because winter is coming.
Hi, I'm Asher.
And I'm Tegan.
And this is the
Celebrity News.
We have all the scoops on all of your favorite celebrities.
And some celebrities who used to be your favorite, but now you're ashamed by.
Like who, Tegan?
Mel Gibson.
Oh, crap, that's right. I used to be really into him.
Yeah, well, he's still super racist. Isn't that great?
No, that's the worst. I'm super embarrassed.
As you should be, Asher.
To be fair, Tegan, you didn't seem to have a problem with Casey Affleck winning that Oscar.
Yeah, well, sometimes you bet on the wrong horse or a sexual harasser, am I right?
There's so many serial sexual harassers in Hollywood, the odds are pretty much against you. Breaking news! Miley Cyrus no longer pretending to be black. And everyone into watching Bow Wow pretend to be rich.
And here I thought he was dead.
Nope, just irrelevant.
His Mexicans rapists.
By hiring Latina and having their rich friends do impressions.
We see you, SNL. You ain't fooling anyone.
But please, keep using Melissa McCarthy. That woman is a fucking treasure.
And finally, we'd like to take a moment to bring up something that is kind of dead for a while now, but remember that Kendall Jenner Pepsi ad?
We were rooting for you, Pepsi. We were all rooting for you.
Were we?
I kind of was. Kind of like wild cherry Pepsi.
But you, Asher, because that ad was terrible and embarrassing.
That ad was the marketing equivalent of your uncle dabbing. You don't understand where he learned it or why he thought he had the right to do it, but he was wrong.
So, we'd like to give Pepsi our What the Fudge Award for the week. On the count of three, join us. One,
two, three, What the fudge, Pepsi?
So much fun. I'm Tegan.
And I'm Asher. And this was
Celebrity News.
Oh, hey, Becca.
Is this an after-school special?
I miss Michelle. Besides, I think it's all my fault we're trapped in this sitcom.
Aww. I think that music means I'm supposed to talk to you?
You don't have to. Unless you want to.
I don't know what to say, except next time you come across a vaguely ethnic, non-denominational artifact, don't rub it.
Okay.
Or pet it.
Unless you like it like that. I like it like that!
Wolf, why did you dramatically interrupt us?
I don't know. I guess I just like it like that! I don't know where that came from. I'm so sorry. But I like it like that!
Okay, well, we get it. You like it like that, jeez.
Don't you see, Rolly? He's caught a catchphrase. Don't get too close. They're not contagious, but they can become very, very annoying.
Yes.
Is there a cure? Maybe if I poke the vaguely ethnic non-denominational artifact.
No! The only cure is a spin-off, which means we're probably getting closer to the end.
Good, because I like it like that. Please help me. Has this ever happened to you?
Every time my favorite TV series has a season finale, I get really worked up. I spend all my energy getting ready for the big moment. So when it ends, I feel empty. I have to resort to slapping my brother right in his face without warning just so I can finally feel alive.
Harsh!
Yeah, it's always a difficult time for me. Oh, and I guess my brother.
Or perhaps this has happened to you.
Season finales ain't shit. Have you tried living after a series finale? Please, my high school drama just went out with a bang, and I am not okay. I lit my own couch on fire because I can't handle the horrifying lack of excitement and thrill. I can't feel the urge to be on the edge of my seat if there's no seat, right? Right?
As you can hear, listeners, these people are pretty messed up.
Hey!
But it's not their fault.
It's not?
No, you're both suffering from television dependency syndrome, or TDS. It happens whenever really good shows end, and you realize that you were simply distracting yourself from a boring existence.
Well, I wouldn't say boring. I just like to watch TV. Exactly! It's not like my life is meaningless. I have friends. There's Joey, Rachel, Monica, Ross, Phoebe, a whole gang of friends.
Those are characters on the hit TV show Friends that ended years ago.
Wait, does that mean you're Chandler?
Well, Chandler! That crack in her voice is the sound of her delusion cracking down. TDS victims rarely realize that they don't have hobbies, friends, lovers. They just watch TV, which skillfully builds a wall of distraction.
Hey, I had a partner once.
Oh, really? Who?
His name was Fitz.
and we could be together. He's the president of the United States and married to this woman, Nellie, and I was just too much woman for him.
You just described scandal, and you're not even caught up.
Well, damn.
Be cautious about who you deal with, TDS. You can't just slap people in the face or light your couch on fire. We don't want to be like Britain. They're having an epidemic of cute red telephone booths burning because their shows only have 6 episodes.
How are they still alive? Tell us, is there a cure?
Have at least 5 Netflix shows on deck to keep you occupied and distracted from your life. And there's always... No, you wouldn't be interested.
Tell us, what is it?
Please, save us from this hell.
Well, the only true cure, my new friends, is to fill your life with people instead of with the lives of characters from a show. Human connection is the answer to... So, Eve, meet Suze. Suze, meet Eve. I think you two would be great together.
So does this mean we get to date?
No, but you can if you want to.
That might be nice. The last thing I caressed was a bowl of popcorn.
Could we maybe have popcorn together?
Of course. My hero.
And there you have it, listeners. The real cure for TDS is to fill your life with people. Humans create the best drama. That's why we have reality TV. So what are you crazy kids gonna do next?
We decided we're going to begin our new friendship and possible relationship by bonding over literally anything but TV.
Yeah, we're gonna start with something new, something different. YouTube videos!
But couldn't that end up just like...
Cat videos!
Oh, boy.
Alright, right this way, please. The Lifetime Achievement Award is up next, Miss Reinhardt. I've seen all your films. My mom played them on a non-stop loop after I was born. You were absolutely gorgeous in Half a Penny, Half a Heart.
Oh, yes! I played Jenny, the girl with the congenital heart disease who ate half pennies to survive, but oh, darling, I was gorgeous in all of them. My, it was always a pleasure to meet someone who appreciates classic film.
My mom would be so jealous if she hadn't died in that horrible elephant accident. Okay, so just wait for the Tupac hologram to call your name and you'll accept your award.
Hey, what about me?
Oh, right. Sorry, I just got distracted, Mr. Smith.
I prefer to go by my screen name, Fartsplode.
What do I care? We're at commercial break now. When we come back, just give a little speech. Try not to take too long. Nothing to be nervous about.
Nervous? Darling, I wasn't nervous during the Blitz. I do believe I'll be just fine walking on stage and accepting an award of my lifetime of work.
Classic Miss Reinhardt. Okay, I gotta go do some coke with one of the Olsen twins, the poor one. See ya.
So, if you don't mind me saying, aren't you a bit young to get a Lifetime Achievement Award? What are you, 15?
I'm 19 and a half, thank you very much.
Oh, yes, such a distinguished age.
Yeah, I'm getting this award because I'm retiring from YouTube.
I'm sorry, but what is it you do?
Oh, well, I'm Fartsplode. From the YouTube channel, Fartsplode, for all your animal fart needs.
Oh. You have a great need for animal farts these days, dear.
Oh, hell yeah. I get over 50 million views a day, and with all the ad revenue and sponsorships I get, I'm raking in the dough. Oh, like this video, Duck Fart. It gets me at least $10,000 a week.
Oh, well, it's not nice here.
Yeah, this whole, like, being an artist thing has really paid off for me. Are you okay?
Yes, dear, excuse me. I thought you called yourself an artiste, and oh, I have almost died. I haven't had such a good laugh since my late husband told me he was not sleeping with a landscaper. I have it on tape, Gerald! I screamed at him, but oh, this is just as good.
But I am an artist.
Oh, sweetie, no. Art is beauty, life,
that was duck fart. I zoomed in on his duck's butt and then he farted. Someone literally commented, "This is art, LOL."
Darling, as a child, the German mafia saw my potential as a dancer and kidnapped me and burned my village to the ground.
Okay.
So they take me away to Germany. I had no name, no family, no hope. All I had was the dance. Ballet, interpretive jazz, tap. When the mafia was brutally murdered, we children were thrown out on the streets, where I danced on street corners hoping to gain enough German marks for all of us to eat. And when I could not, I went without. Let the children eat! I screamed to an uncaring God!
Very uncomfortable.
Some nights, we were born hungry and we were punched twice in the streets. I lured them with my dancing. When the queen was told of my dancing, she brought me to the castle and promised to send me to the best dance school in all of Eurasia if I could rid the castle of rats.
Wait, what?
That's when you could say, pas de bray. The castle was free of rats, and I was on my way to a school most girls could only dream of, and where fewer made it out alive.
That was goose fart. Someone commented, "This belongs in the Smithsonian."
I was there at the opening of the Smithsonian, and your waterfowl flatulence belongs nowhere near it. You care nothing for story, action, suspense.
Sometimes you can't tell when an animal's gonna fart. That's pretty suspenseful.
I starred in the silent film about a ballerina on a tightrope walking above a pit of sharks. They had already lost 6 ballerinas by the time I was cast. Now that is suspense. I walked that rope, and as the sharks had not eaten for 3 weeks, they began to jump out of the water, trying to taste my dancer's legs. I said right then and there that God had put me on this earth to dance, and I would kill anything that got my way. I single-handedly killed 25 sharks for that film. They titled it Morgana, the Mad Shark Priestess. Overnight, I went from stage darling to screen queen.
What the fuck, lady?
This lady single-handedly prevented World War III and IV with the performance of Swan Lake and the Nutcracker, respectively, all the while starring in her own TV show called The Thousand-Armed Dame, about women empowerment and that anything a man could do, a woman could do in space, if necessary.
Yeah, okay, that's cool or whatever, but do you have any YouTube awards?
Awards! I have so many awards that I could drown children in them! I could knock them all down and keep the economy of Panama going for 20 years!
Look, art is subjective and about bringing people together. What's it to you if I call myself an artist?
Bringing people together! Once I performed in the Vatican, and as I began my rendition of Ave Maria, the Pope was assassinated and his blood and part of his brain strewn across the stage, and I kept singing, damn it! I was the only thing holding all of Catholicism together at that moment! As I wept and belted out, they cried in great mourning and threw roses to the stage! There was a call for 5 encores!
That was moose fart.
I'll kill you!
They learn life lessons all the time. Who wants to learn something every week?
And you might be saddled with a catchphrase. What are y'all staring at?
We're waiting for you to say it.
I'm not going to. I've been doing yoga and drinking kombucha. I can control it.
Okay.
I can. Because I like it like that! Oh! We gotta get out of here.
I found my old notes from school, and I think I figured out what to do. For repeat after me. It was all a dream.
What? That's too easy.
Well, it's a sitcom. It's supposed to be easy. And it's supposed to be done. It was all a dream.
It was all a dream.
Okay, but like just one more laughter before we go, you guys.
Sorry, Bailey, you're on your own.
It was all a dream.
But the real world has Brexit and fucking Trump.
She makes a really good point.
Six seasons in a movie would get us to the 2020 election, right?
Six seasons and a movie.
Six seasons and a movie. Six seasons and a movie. Six seasons and a movie.
Six seasons.
The National American presents The Sipping Hour, is a monthly storytelling and sketch podcast produced by the Public House Theater and The National American. Created by Aisha Leverett, with musical guest Nikki Morgan. Written and performed by Becca Brown, Emily Hodgman, Rauli Luna, and Natasha Little. With additional material and performances by Bailey Neal and Sean Roston. Stay tuned for more Sipping Hour.